Well, we're looking at blessed are the meek. And so that's in Matthew chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. Blessed are the meek. It says there in verse 5. For they shall inherit the earth. That's the part that we're looking at this evening. We saw that we need to be meek in various areas of our life, but I myself believe it's talking about that meekness toward God, and you'll see why I believe that as we look at it, as we go to another passage. But we saw that meekness is submitting yourself under the authority of God, giving him the reins, so to speak, like that wild Brumby. You're not running wild, doing as you please, but you're willing to control your will to the will of the master and allow him to have that authority in your life. And we have the promise here, the blessing is to the weak, that when you are meek, before God, you shall inherit the earth. And that's what I want to look at this evening. What it means to inherit the earth, and how do you know if you are inheriting it this very moment? All right, so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We don't have to rely on it being passed down from our parents and grandparents as they repeat the things that they have heard. But Lord, we have the very word that was spoken from the beginning. And we can know it's what your mind wanted us to know, and it was put in a language that we can understand. We thank you for all these blessings. And Lord, you have told us that when we are meek toward you, there is the blessing of being able to inherit the earth. And I pray that we would have a clearer understanding what that means and if we are enjoying that this day. Amen. So what does it mean to inherit the earth? Some say it means if you're meek, submitting to God, you will own lots of land. Now that's not bad, eh? Or you will be rich and wealthy. But I can be very sure that that's not what Jesus was saying, because he was the meekest person on the earth, yet he didn't own any land, and he didn't have any money, it seems, as well. And so what did he mean? Well, the word world, earth, simply means land. It can be translated land or earth. That's what it's talking about, the bit that you walk on, so to speak. And so the meek shall inherit the land. And when a Jew thought about the land, their thoughts went straight away to the promised land. That's where they believed true blessing was found, when they enjoyed the land of Canaan. I found it interesting. I think I put it here. This morning, Peter read from Deuteronomy 4. Let me read it. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your father giveth you. Everything was about the land, that promised land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants. If you possess the land, that was a sign that God's blessing was upon you. Yet when you were removed from the land, that was a sign that God's blessing wasn't upon you. And so when they were all packed up and taken to Babylon and various places, that was because God's blessing wasn't upon them. And so this phrase, to inherit the earth or inherit the land, became an expression to mean that God's blessing was upon you. The Jew wanted to live in the land because that's where God's blessings were. And so that's what they desired. And I believe that Jesus is saying to his disciples that if you are meek toward God, well, then you will inherit the land of promise that is for the believer. We don't get to inherit or go back to Israel and inherit Canaan. That's not where our promised land is. But when we are meek toward God, we get to inherit our promised land. Because we mustn't forget that there is a promised land for the believer. And we also must remember that that's not referring to heaven. Many make the mistake of thinking that the promised land for Israel was a picture of heaven for us. That is not true. Israel had the promised land while they were on earth. They got to enjoy God's blessings, God's peace upon them, and have God in control of them as they were in that land. And when they died, they got to go to heaven for those who believed. And that's the same for us, the church. We have a promised land on earth. A place where there is rest, peace, God is in control. And then also when we die, we get to go to heaven as well. The New Jerusalem, as we are told. And just like the Israelites, we can enjoy our promised land right now. We don't have to wait to heaven. And in Hebrews, it talks about this land of rest and promise that is for the believer. So first of all, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at a significant passage in the New Testament and then a significant passage in the Old Testament, and we see them tied together and found in this one little beatitude. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we read, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not inherit, enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's talking about that generation with Moses. They couldn't enter into their promised land, that land of rest, because of unbelief. God wasn't happy with them. But then he gives a warning to these believers that he's writing to. Verse 1 of chapter 4, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." He's talking now not to the generation that was with Moses. He's talking to a generation of Jewish believers who were struggling to trust the Lord. And he says, don't be like your forefathers. When they didn't trust God, they missed out on their land of blessing. And if you don't trust God now, you're going to miss out on your land of blessing. You see, their forefathers lived and died in the wilderness because they wouldn't trust the Lord. And Christians can live and die in spiritual wilderness if they don't trust the Lord. They never get to enjoy the land here on earth if they don't submit to God, trust Him in all things, and enjoy the blessings He has. Have a look at verse 8 and 9 of the same chapter, chapter 4. "For if Jesus," now that is referring to Joshua, "if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And so Joshua didn't give them the rest, and then he gives them this exhortation to the believers, verse 10, "For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So he exhorts the brethren not to miss out on their land of rest through unbelief. You see, the Sabbath day, which is the day of rest, and the promised land, which is the land of rest, were both a picture of the rest that a believer can have in Christ. That's what it's talking about. spiritual rest. And when we're meek toward God, we let Him have control, and we're no longer bucking against Him and fighting against Him, but we've handed over the reins and said, I will let You lead me, and I will rest and trust in You. When we get and willing to do that, we get to enjoy the land, the promised land that Hebrews talks about. You know, if we think ahead of the New Jerusalem and heaven, what makes heaven so good? Is it the gold roads that you're looking forward to? I know as a kid that was probably one of the key things that I was looking forward to, thinking I might chisel a little bit out for myself. I'm sure every young bloke thinks that at some stage. Is it the lovely stoned walls? Is it that fruit tree that has a different fruit every, the tree of life that has a different fruit every month? Is that what makes heaven so good? Well, have a look in Revelation chapter 21. We'll see what makes heaven so good. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. What makes heaven so good? It's because God is going to be there with us. Take God out of the New Jerusalem, it's still not going to be a very good place. No, the fact that we get to dwell with God and He rules over us, He's in control, that's what makes the New Jerusalem so good. And when you realize that it's being with God and having Him in control that makes a place so wonderful, that's when you realize that you can inherit the land now. You can be in that place of rest and blessing now, because we don't have to wait to heaven to have Him in control of our life. You can't say, I can't wait till I get to heaven and God's in control of me and He can take care of me. We can have that now. We can say, I can have God in control of me now and He takes care of me right now. And that's why it's such a blessing. We can be at rest this very moment, if we are willing to submit to Him, hand over the reins and say, You are in control of me. And that's where that place of rest and peace is found for us. That's the land of rest that Hebrews is talking about. When God is in control of your life. And, you know, Jesus says, Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I will take care of you. That's a blessing. And I believe that is what Jesus is talking about here. And the key is meekness. When we are meek toward God, we get to enjoy Him in control of us. Now the question then is, if that's something that can be now, the question is, are you enjoying the land of promise that is promised for us as a believer now? I know as a younger man in my 20s, I've heard a number of messages. Pastor Wenham particularly loved talking about this, and it's a good thing to talk about. But I would sit there thinking, well, am I in the land? I want to be in the land. I hope I'm in the land. You know, how do I know if I'm in the land? Could I think I'm in the land, but I'm not actually in the land? I want to know. Well, the blessing is we can have a very good idea, because we are told in God's Word how a person acts when they are in that land of promise. We are told how a meek person acts who gets to enjoy or gets to inherit the land of promise. You see, Psalm 37 explains to us the actions of someone who is meek towards God. I want you to turn to Psalm 37 because this beatitude that Jesus gives is a quote from Psalm 37 verse 11. So Psalm are the words of Christ as well. But Jesus didn't make it up there in Matthew. He actually repeated something that he had given King David many, many years earlier. This wasn't a new thing. This was something that had been around for a long time. Psalm 37, verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth." There we have it. And if those people listening to Jesus that day should have been able to say, "Hey, I've heard that before. David said that in one of his Psalms. The meek shall inherit the earth." You see, the beatitude is this verse is the climax of what the psalmist was saying in the previous verses. This psalm is an extended version of Jesus' beatitude. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." But he doesn't elaborate on that. He doesn't elaborate on what it means to be meek. But in Psalm, what David does is he explains how you should be living. And then he says, "For the meek," that is what I've just explained, "shall inherit the earth." And so we get to know what a meek person is, someone who actually is submitting to God and living the way that they should in order to enjoy the blessing or that blessed rest found in Christ. And so it's all here in Psalm 37. And there are some key things that David says a person who is meek toward God and enjoying that land of rest will do. The first thing we see here in verses 1 to 3 is a person who is meek toward God and enjoying the land will trust in the Lord. Well, that's simple, isn't it? Have a look in verses 1 to 3. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the grass green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land," it says. "And verily thou shalt be fed." Trust in the Lord and do good, and you're going to enjoy that promised blessing of God, we're told here. Remember I said last week that to be able to be meek toward God, we first have to believe truly that He's a good God, so that we're willing to submit to Him and trust Him. And that's the key to all the blessings found in God, is willing to submit to Him and trust Him with everything. That's why we talk about handing over the reins. "I'll let you guide and lead as you will." It's when we get to this point that we will be able to trust Him and enjoy the things that He wants for us. And it says, "Fret not." You know, we fret over a lot of things, don't we, instead of trusting. Fret over money, over health, maybe our looks, maybe circumstances. The list can be endless. And when you're fretting, you are not trusting. You know, the word "fret" actually means to glow. And it has that idea of being angry. You're glowing with fury. And often something can happen, and instead of trusting that God is in control and we can leave it to Him, we glow with anger. That's what fretting is really all about. And all that does is rob us of the rest that we can have in Him. You see, when someone who is meek, it's no doubt we still have to sometimes face problems, go and sort this out and do that. But there's a difference between sorting things out and fretting over it in the sense of anger or anxiety and letting it destroy our peace, and just leaving it to God and just doing what we know we should. But it says there, trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land. What is the one thing that Hebrews talks about that we will take away our promised land? Unbelief. Don't fall into that trap of unbelief in not trusting the Lord. And so, if we trust instead of not trust, that's the first step. Think of things that you're facing at the moment. Are you facing them with a confidence of trust? That although you know you're weak, you know you can't solve problems, but when you're weak, He is strong. And I'm willing to hand it over to the Lord to sort out. You know, that's when you have a peace that you can't understand. If you're trying to sort it all out yourself and you're worrying and you're carrying on, you're blowing up in the sense of fretting and glowing, you've lost that rest and peace that God says is yours. I'm guessing we can step in and out of the promised land fairly easily. You know, it might be a bit harder for the Jews to run out of Palestine and back. There's a bit of work going on. But for us, we can seem to be in and out of that promised land within a day, depending on if we trust or not. It's good to put up your residence right smack bang in the middle of the promised land, so it's hard to get to the border, so to speak. But do you trust? Next thing we see is someone who is meek and in that land of promise delights in the Lord. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. A meek person's attitude is, I want to and I need to delight in the Lord. They understand that God is their oasis in life. The meek person doesn't say, hand me over the reins, I'm going where I want, because there's lots of lovely things out there you're holding me back from. Now, a meek person sees the world for what it is, that it is a desert full of mirages. It may look like something special, but it's not real. And so they stay very close to their oasis, who is Christ Himself. I know you'd be just the same as me. When you drift from the Lord because you start chasing some vain mirage within this world, you get too busy for the Lord and you don't delight in Him, that's when your soul becomes very restless and you miss that peace and you start to try and sort out everything yourself, and you don't have that rest that is found in the Lord. You need to delight yourself in Him. A verse just came to mind. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Want perfect peace or rest? It's your mind is stayed on God. I did a little example with the teenagers about what you think about, what room you go into in your mind. And whatever room you go into, that's what you're thinking about at that moment. And you might be in the room where there's lots of troubles in your life and that's what you're all you're thinking about. Or it could be an immoral room, or it could be a hobby, whatever. Or it could be that room where you dwell on God. Problem is, whatever room you go into seems to expand and take over your whole thinking. And if you're constantly in that room of troubles or something other than God, that's all you'll be thinking about and you'll lose that peace. You need to delight or meditate on the Lord and His Word and His goodness. And that's what fills your mind. You know, if someone who didn't know you, we just shipped someone out from Sweden and followed you around without you realizing, and they went to where you went in your spare time or wherever when you didn't even realize someone was there, and they saw where you went, they listened to what you listened to, they heard what you spoke about, they read what you read and watched what you watched, would they say at the end of the week, this person delights in the God of the Bible? Regardless of what they're doing, weaved through their day is the God of the Bible. They want to read about Him. They want to talk about Him. They want to hear about Him. They want to please Him. Is He the one you delight in? Or is it something else? If you're in the land of promise, you'll be someone who delights in the Lord. Maybe that's why things are a little bit restless. Because you, even if it's not in your life, it's in your mind. You've got a restless mind. It's because you're not delighting in the Lord within there. Verse 5, a meek person commits their way unto the Lord and trusts also in Him. You know, would you call a horse that goes wherever it wants to go, when it wants, a meek horse? Of course you don't. It's out of control. And so often Christians act so much more like that. They go where they want, when they want, how they want, and never stop to consider what their master wants. They don't seek His direction or help or guidance, or above all, His permission. And we head off in a direction without even considering the Lord. How much of your decision making starts with seeking God's will and God's wisdom? Well, a person who is meek toward God will commit their way to the Lord, first of all. Then, we also see in verse 7, a meek person rests and waits patiently. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. There you go. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. You know, isn't it true we don't like waiting? Or we try to push doors open that should never have been opened? You know, we ask the Lord, is this your will? Is this door your will? And we wait for a couple of seconds. Ah, it's not open. Go get the sledgehammer. It's open. Oh, the door's open. Must be God's will. And you go through. We don't want to wait on the Lord and allow Him to guide and direct. Too often we manipulate people, or we scheme to get our own way instead of letting the Lord sort it out. And too often, it just makes a big mess of things. Abraham, he should have been someone who waited upon the Lord for that promised son. Yet, we see that he took things into his own hand to try and bring to pass what God had promised him, as though he had to do his part in it. And obviously God wasn't letting Sarah get pregnant, so he had to sort this out to make sure it came to pass. So he took Hagar and had a son, Ishmael, and we know that he was the father of the Arabs, which has been a curse to the Jews to this day. It brought about a big mess because he wouldn't wait on the Lord. And that's usually the result when we're not meek. We end up with second best, or we end up with a disaster. I've seen too many young people end up with a disaster because they won't wait on the Lord for a godly partner. And they take things into their own hands. I see too many men make the disaster of taking the opportunity for a job without seeking God's guidance and waiting upon Him. And that job takes them away from the house of God, and their family ends up being a mess in the process. One of the hardest commandments is to wait. We love going. We generally hate waiting. It starts with as a young person, and if we haven't sorted it out, it continues as an adult. But the meek toward God wait upon Him. You know, God's timing is always, or generally, slower than ours. We look at our 70 years and we think, wow, 3 minutes is long enough. Or 3 days, 3 months, 3 years is more than enough. 30 years, that's ridiculously too long. But God knows the perfect timing. All He says is, trust Me. Do what I want you to do and rest in Me. You try and knock down doors and do things faster, well then you've just put yourself out of the promised land. And you've taken things into your own hands. And so what David says here is, trust the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, wait on Him. That's how a meek person acts. Cease from fretting and anger. And he says in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So when you look at that beatitude of Jesus's, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, we can go either side of him to find out what he's really talking about. If we go back, he's talking about someone who is submitting to God, and this is how you do it. That's the meekness that we're talking about. We go forward to Hebrews, and we see what the inheriting the earth is. It's that promised land for the believers, that peace of rest. And so it's a beautiful little beatitude. I wonder if the people that were listening that day fully understood what Jesus was meaning. Well, we have no excuse. We can enjoy that land now. Are you in the land? Well, the question is, are you meek toward God? That's the key. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that we can be trusting so much one day. And then something happens and we forget everything. I pray that, Lord, we will meditate upon these things to the point where, Lord, it's a part of our very being. And we just trust in you. Even without thinking about it, it's just our natural response. That's not our normal default response, Lord. Our fleshly response is to fear and to fret. Help us to be able to trust and wait upon you. And I ask for those who need to hear this and trust more on you so they can enjoy that peace that they are longing for this day, that, Lord, you will touch their heart. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.